Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. I was at the Stop the Steal rally in Washington on Wednesday, so we have a lot to talk about. It was an amazing rally. In the words of a famous person, it was huge. I've been to many rallies in Washington, and this is the biggest I've ever seen. I've been to the pro-life marches. This was much bigger. There were wall-to-wall people. It went from the front lawn of the White House all the way up into the bay, all the way to the base of the Washington Monument. And from the Monument Hill, I could see people streaming in for hours from every direction. There were people from Texas and Michigan, Indiana, California. The dedication and the sacrifice of these people was amazing. Even though there were freezing cold temperatures and high winds. So I got up at 1 a.m. and drove to Washington. For me, it's about a three-hour drive. I parked outside the city and I took the metro in. I was there before the sun rose. And then I spent from 7 a.m. to 2 o'clock in the morning walking the whole area, engaging people in conversation. It was really amazing. Did I say it was amazing? It was amazing. 200,000 to 300,000 people all standing around willing to talk. It was a personal evangelism dream come true. There is no video game that comes close to the excitement of real life. For you video heads, there is no Steam game that comes close to the thrill of God's world. If we only open our eyes and see what's before us. In my church, I have on the back bulletin board a comic. A man is standing before the pearly gates, and the angel says to him, actually, you had a pretty good life, but you're looking down at your phone the whole time, and you missed it. So anyway, you know, I took my camera, hoping that I could do some interviews, but I never connected with the person that I hoped would hold the camera for me. So instead, I just took a lot of still shots, and I put it together in a montage. So here's the plan. Let's first look at the montage. Then I want to make some comments or observations about the rally, the charge on the Capitol, then go on to discuss the Senate's response and the vote, more news on election fraud, and then some final spiritual lessons. So first, let's look at the montage.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. To be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. To the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shore, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say. The men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I
Here are my observations. One of the first things you will notice in a Trump rally or any rally, it is one big nutty mess, which may be discouraging to some people, but it really shouldn't be. There were these nice all-American Christian families with their, you know, children holding up patriotic Bible signs, homeschool families taking their children to this rally as a civic lesson. But then there were the loudmouths, people with kooky conspiracy theories. The Lyndon LaRouche people were there trying to convince me that every bad thing that happens is a plot by the British monarchy. Then there was a guy I talked to who tried to convince me that the Federal Reserve and the bankers started World War I and World War II in order to make money. I've read all the books. I know all the arguments. But it's really confusion over cause and effect. Yes, there are bad actors who take advantage of a situation, but it doesn't follow that they're the main instigators. The main instigator is the total sin of humanity. And I was also amazed that there were many Chinese Americans, Chinese born in China and now living in America, who were protesting the Chinese Communist Party. And I asked a number of them, what exactly is their offense? Hasn't the party in China used capitalistic economics to enrich the Chinese people? And they answered what I expected. It's really all a sham. There is really no middle class. There's much poverty. There's bondage. It's all really slave labor. We don't realize what it's like to live without freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of association. That's more important than any salary or, you know, economic benefit. Also, the Epoch Times and NTD were there passing out advertisements for their networks. Many conservatives don't realize that these are Chinese networks. NTD was started by the Falun Gong Chinese meditation religion. That's the group that the Chinese communists wanted to stamp out. So in speaking with these people, they claim to be spiritual, but not Christian. And as such, they have attached themselves to the American conservative movement, anti-communist, pro-freedom of religion, and that's why they run articles with conservative slants. Now, what you have to be careful of in the Epoch Times and NTD is that they do not vet all of their sources. They just put up raw stories that may have no legitimate backing whatsoever. But it's great to read some of those stories because here you have a paper that doesn't care about being politically correct. They will let you know hearsay. You just have to know what you're getting. Well, then at the rally, there were a number of open-air evangelists with their PA systems shouting hellfire and brimstone. Bottom line, it appeared that they lacked wisdom in knowing how to properly present the gospel in this kind of political venue. I mean, when Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump are speaking, please turn off your PA mics, stop your preaching. And second, if you're going to preach, speak to the people in a gentle and informative way about the kingdom of Christ, his ways, his truth. Then there was a whole group of Seventh-day Adventists from a church in Indiana. They had an entire pallet of books that they were passing out for free, The Great Controversy. That's Ellen White's book. The founder of the Seventh-day Adventist movement spoke with a very nice Haitian woman who sincerely thought that it was necessary to spread Ellen White's teachings. So at these rallies, there is a lot of well-informed people there, but there are also misguided, uninformed people, even some political hotheads. That's to be expected. You know, people from the back country coming to show Washington a thing or two. Gun-toting, Bible-thumping, normal people. But never diminish these people. As Abraham Lincoln once said, God must love the common people because he made so many of them. even in all of their nuttiness, these people often have more common sense than those elites down the street sitting in Congress. And compared to a leftist rally, these Trump supporters were saints. Whenever you attend such rallies, never go away thinking, I am better than these people. Like Luke chapter 18, the Pharisee who prayed, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. No, you're the same as everyone else. You might have a different perspective. You might have more information. But these people have something important to say. Now, don't get me wrong. I know error when I see it. But there is a difference between evil and a misguided exuberance for truth. Consider 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul puts all the elites in their place with the following statement. For consider your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, and the things that are not, so that he might nullify the things that are. And that puts us all in our place. Also, 1 Corinthians 1:25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God will often use the uneducated farmer to teach the educated banker, and God will sometimes use the educated banker to humble and teach the farmer something. If you think that you are better than the variety of Trump supporters, that is the sin of pride. The educated elites who think they are so smart are just as ignorant, just as foolish, but in their own way. I mean, I was listening to the Senate debate on Wednesday night. They speak as educated men, but their reasoning was unsound and illogical. They continually engaged in some of the classic logical fallacies, even though they are supposed to be so educated. As I spoke about in my last week program, about the foolishness of ungodly leaders, Romans chapter 1, verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. Or Hosea chapter 9, verse 7, the prophet is a fool. The inspired man is demented because of the grossness of your iniquity and because your hostility is so great. Or how about Isaiah chapter 9, verse 17? For every one of them is godless and an evildoer. Every mouth is speaking foolishness. So, after the speeches at the White House, I walked with the crowd to the Capitol. It was very peaceful. We passed the Justice Department, and a few rowdies started shouting some derogatory statements at the Justice Building and the guards, but it was no big deal. But just before I reached the Capitol, I had enough. I turned onto 8th Street, went back to the Metro. I was hungry. You know, I was tired. I was cold. I would have broken into the Capitol just to find a warm place and to find a bathroom. So I got on the Metro and the news broke. There was a break-in into the Capitol. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's terrible. I just missed a great filming opportunity. But God didn't want me there. The real action was going to take place on the Metro. Because on the train, I got into a conversation with some young men from Brooklyn who had attended the rally, and I was able to share some biblical truth and my YouTube channel with a young man who was reading his Bible, was seeking truth, and that's the real action God wants us to be involved in. That's the Great Commission. That's the eternal fruit. I mean, what happened in the rotunda with these people breaking in is irrelevant as far as eternity is concerned. So here's my take on the break-in. It was instigated by Antifa. All morning, I walked that rally ground many times, and I noticed that there were some people who were out of place. They weren't wearing the normal attire, instead full face masks, black outfits, black boots, military-style garb, and they weren't paying attention to the speakers. I read after the fact that a whole busload of Antifa came to Washington, and I have no doubt. Up by the monument, one of these guys was standing on an American flag just to provoke Trump supporters. And a fight broke out. The police had to break it up. And then later he was standing on the flag again. Then I got home and I saw the pictures of these men who broke into the Capitol. On the left, in the yellow hoodie, this guy has a communist hammer and sickle tattooed on his hand. He's not a Trump supporter. Mr. Buffalo Head with the body tattoos, I saw him throughout the day. He is not a Trump supporter. And the guy on the right, I also saw him earlier. I question his affiliation. What I believe happened, and this is confirmed by many sources, that these Antifa plants stirred up a very few hothead Trump supporters. And once the doors were broken down, some Trump supporters, along with Antifa members, streamed in thinking that this would be a good statement to make to Congress, that we're not going to put up with a stolen election. If you look at the evidence and really believe that this election was stolen, this is what patriotic Americans are called to do. Even the founding father Jefferson said that the Tree of Liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is freedom's natural manure. You know, the elitist, the deep state, the statists always want to take freedom away from people in every generation. And patriots need to always push back. Now, the media is saying that this break-in was un-American, but that is absolute nonsense. You know, back in 1776, Americans picked up rifles and shot at the British at Concord in Lexington. It was 77 American militiamen versus 700 British soldiers. The British major said, "Throw down your arms, ye villains and rebels." And the militiamen had just been ordered by their commander to disperse when someone pulled the trigger and all hell broke loose. 8 Americans died. Over what? No representation in government. Now, you can debate the morality of that and Romans 13 submission to authority, but you can't say it's un-American. Our whole system was built upon the rights of the citizenship to challenge the government and even to use force if the government, the king, will not enact justice. Remember the Declaration of Independence. Governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government. And that's what the Second Amendment is all about. See, elected officials want to forget that history because it threatens their unaccountable power. If the Democrats did cheat in this election, which is great evidence for, and Congress looked the other way and ignored the evidence for political gain, our democracy is over. And according to our founders' philosophy, patriots at some point need to push back. The indignant reaction to Wednesday on the part of the political class was extremely offensive. They ignore riots everywhere else, but their own safety is considered sacrosanct. And the media has absolutely no moral authority to criticize the Capitol break-in after all of their approvals of the greater violence this summer in the BLM riots. Remember CNN commentator Chris Cuomo.
Now, too many see the protests as the problem. No, the problem is what forced your fellow citizens to take to the streets. Persistent and poisonous inequities and injustice. And please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
And also consider this montage put together by Grabian Media.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly.
That ain't a riot, what we're seeing right now in Minneapolis.
They are strictly principled anti-fascists, and they've taken a principled stand to stand against white supremacists and white nationalists wherever they may show up.
I argue to you tonight, all punches are not equal morally.
It says it right in the name, Antifa, anti-fascism, which is what they were there fighting. Listen, there's, you know, no organization is perfect. There was some violence.
Any reasonable person would say we shouldn't be destroying other people's property, but these are not reasonable times.
But thank goodness for the looters, man.
And please show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
I don't care that much about statues.
Shouldn't that be done by a commission or the city council, not a mob in the middle of the night throwing it into the harbor?
People will do what they do.
What you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations that have been burning in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Do not get it twisted and think that, oh, this is something that has never happened before, and then this is so terrible, and where are we, and these savages, and all of that. This is how this country was started.
People get mad, and people get sick of it. People are risking COVID to explain to this country that we're fed up.
Most of the major movements in American history have started at the grassroots level, and at some point have turned into direct conflict with American government. So remember your history before you judge your present.
Thuggishness is thuggishness wherever it comes from politically, and we should be the first to call it out.
I disagree.
There is an unjust double standard being applied. And we also have to mention that the Capitol Police overreacted. The woman who was reported as being killed by the Capitol Police, Ashley Babbitt, she wasn't breaking down the door. She was standing in the background, and an officer shot indiscriminately into the crowd. Every police officer is responsible to first identify the target. If the officers in the George Floyd case were charged, this officer should also be charged. Now, later that night, the Senate reconvened and voted against Ted Cruz's objection to accepting the electors from the states that showed voter fraud. The vice president did not use this questionable constitutional authority to prevent the accepting of these electors, but at least Pence could have supported Cruz. But he really didn't. So here was the great error in the Senate debate. There was an a priori assumption on the part of too many senators that there was no fraud in the election, at least not enough serious fraud to make a difference. So rather than arguing the issue of whether or not there was fraud, which is what they needed to do in continual hearings, they assumed what they should be proving. And this is the classic fallacy of begging the question. With an unproven assumption that the accusation of fraud was unfounded, the senators made statements like, Trump, his supporters, and Ted Cruz are undermining democracy. But wait a minute. That's not the issue. Because if the fraud is real, then it's the whole Senate in accepting these electors who are undermining democracy. Rather than sticking with the main issue, they sloganeered about democracy. They obfuscated. One senator said, we always have accepted elections, but what's the difference this time? Donald Trump, who doesn't believe in democracy and the Constitution. Well, that's just a ridiculous statement. That's just pandering. That's just sloganeering. Another senator said, the only reason people are saying there is fraud is because Trump said there was fraud and he doesn't want to tell his supporters the truth. Again, this is the classic fallacy of begging the question. Because if this fraud was real, then it's the Senate who's not wanting to hear the truth. This senator also said there is no evidence of fraud in these cases. And I find that there are many, many Republican legislators who only listen to the mainstream news. Lindsey Graham said that there's always cheating in every election, but Biden won and he's our legitimate president. Well, that statement doesn't even make sense. But such is the blindness that come upon people with a bias. And with this bias, Trump becomes a problem. He caused the riots. When it could just as well be said that in a different universe, the Senate caused the riots for refusing to look into election fraud. People first decide what they want to believe, and then they use the facts accordingly. And Senator Schumer is calling for an impeachment of the president for questioning the election and allegedly causing the riots. You know, like in ancient Rome and in the Soviet Union, it didn't matter if you were right or wrong. If the outcome was disturbing the peace or upsetting the power of the elites, you were wrong. And remember what Chris Cuomo said. Too many see the protest as the problem, know the problem is what forced your fellow citizens to take to the streets, persistent and poisonous inequities and injustice. Last week, I heard a conservative commentator make the point, and I had to write this down, whenever there is a double standard, there is an evil agenda. Case in point, the four Gospels, how the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees treated Jesus with a double standard. You know, even Pence said today was a dark day in the history of the United States. Well, it all depends which side you're on. Whether it's a dark day because citizens stood up to the government, or is it a dark day because legislators were willfully blind to election fraud? So in the remainder of my time, I want to again cover some evidence of election fraud. This will include some of the new evidence of fraud that came out before Christmas in the Georgia Senate Judiciary Committee hearings. So first, even before finding hard evidence of election fraud, the results themselves show something's amiss. For example, the fact that the Republicans won 25 of 26 House races, the Democrats lost 14 seats in the House, but the Republicans still lost the presidency. Not impossible, but very unusual historically. Then there were also the bellwether counties and states. There are a number of sources on this, but here I quote Doug Wade with Pure Talk, interviewing Seth Keschel. There have been certain bellwether counties that have been perfect in predicting who would win the presidency for the last 40 years, because these counties have demographics that match the entire country. And in this election, Trump won 18 of the 19 bellwether counties, and he still lost a general election. That's strange. And then there's also the bellwether states. If a candidate wins Ohio, which represents the pulse of the nation, he will likely win the presidency. And if he wins Ohio and Iowa, the chances of winning the White House is even greater. But if a candidate wins Ohio, Iowa, North Carolina, and Florida, he always wins the White House. But Trump won all four states and still lost the presidency. Why? Well, the explanation may be hashtag pick six, cheat big, Joe did. This hashtag was created by Kevin McCullough, and he explains that this is how Joe Biden did it. The Democrats picked six cities with Democrat machines that would not be accountable to the people, and they cheated there. You stop counting in the night and inject the ballots you need to win. It's not any more complicated than that. And this is why these cities in these battleground states had abnormal results in the election. Now, a second evidence of fraud, which is being continually added to, is the jump in Biden votes and the decreases in Trump's votes. Remember, votes for a candidate never go down in an election, but they did in Trump's case. A report, over 432,000 votes removed from Trump in Pennsylvania, data scientists say. Now, this is from the Epoch Times, not my usual source of information, but it's all we have right now. This was an investigation done by the Data Integrity Group, and the Data Integrity Group is not a bunch of amateurs. These are experts. The group's lineup of data scientists include Justin Mealy and David LeBou. Mealy is a 9-year veteran of the U.S. Navy, where he worked as an electronics warfare technician, cryptological technician, and Arabic linguist. He worked for the NSA as a mission manager for North Africa, later worked for the CIA as a contractor. LeBou has a 12-year experience in data science and machine learning across financial services, telecommunication, research consulting industries. He currently specializes in artificial intelligence applications. The data scientists from the Voter Integrity Group have analyzed the election data for several states, including Arizona and Georgia. So these people are experts in their field. Also, here's another interesting piece. A group of 400 former U.S. intelligence officials are investigating blatant election fraud. A loose network of about 400 former investigators and intelligence operatives from the FBI, CIA, and NSA, and several other agencies are investigating the 2020 election to determine if there was any election fraud. A former CIA intelligence officer turned private agent for Strategic Planning Technologies and Foreign Domestic Group under President George W. Bush says he's been a part of the network of investigators since 2014, but the group is increasing in size because of the shady antics surrounding the 2020 presidential election results. Well, the takeaway here is that it's a myth from the media that the claims of election fraud is only coming from kooky amateurs with blind loyalty for Trump. Anyway, the report from the Data Integrity Project states, the election data shows that over 432,000 votes were removed from President Donald Trump during the November election. And according to the analysis, votes for Trump from both Election Day and mail-in ballots were removed from the totals in at least 15 counties in PA. Time series election data shows Trump's votes going down in various counties at numerous time points instead of increasing as would be expected under normal circumstances. Notice this chart from Allegheny County. Trump's votes dropped by 22,000. Again, a candidate's votes never drop. And notice this chart from Chester County. Trump votes dropped numerous times throughout the night. What's the explanation for this? Election officials aren't providing any. During the Stop the Steal rally, guess who happened to be interviewed by the New York Times? Yours truly. I didn't give him my full name. And the reporter asked me, what evidence is there of fraud? And I explained the vote drops and how that has not been explained by election officials. I explained the findings of the Amistad Group and the Voter Integrity Project, but this reporter had no idea of what I was talking about because she's kept from this information. She's in the dark. So the Data Integrity Group also testified in Georgia's Judiciary Committee hearings right before Christmas. And the group began by pointing out that 90% for a candidate in a precinct is an indicator of fraud. In Fulton County, in Georgia, 150 precincts had 90% or more for Biden. Okay, I get that. Maybe Biden is a very popular guy. But then, in those counties, 113,000 ballots were rejected by the machines and had to be adjudicated by some operator to determine how the voter intended to vote. And there is no audit trail of these adjudications. And according to the Data Integrity Group, having 113,000 ballots go to adjudication is unprecedented. Machines do not make that many mistakes unless they're programmed to do so. So, okay, maybe the Dominion machines weren't properly calibrated. Well, then the Voter Integrity Group showed the vote switching that went on in many of the counties. Just one example, in Putnam County, Trump went negative 5,935 votes. And throughout the night, totals were being removed from Trump, given to Biden. In Dougherty County, 17,650 votes were removed from Trump. The group stated that in Putnam, Dodge, Dougherty counties alone, 30,000 votes for Trump simply disappeared. Okay. So in these counties, the ballot counters made the mistake of accidentally giving Biden votes to Trump, and they had to reverse it. Now, at a certain point, you know there's fraud. And if this isn't enough, the Data Integrity Group went on to explain how this could happen. The votes from each of these precincts are put on an SD card and transported to a warehouse where the information is downloaded into tabulation software called Democracy Suites. This is then exported to Dominion servers and to the SCIDL Election Night Reporting Service, then it's sent out to the networks. During this process, poll data entry people have the option in the software to create new batches, to reject batches, to validate batches, to publish batches. Anyone working the election software has the power to manipulate the vote even before it's uploaded to the server. What's the explanation for this? Well, election officials in these Democratic cities are silent. Now, speaking before the Senate hearing in Georgia was also another expert, Jovan Pulitzer. He claimed that with his expertise in scanning and his knowledge of paper and paper ballots, he could detect if the ballots in Georgia were genuine, whether they came from a certain printer or from a computer printer. Pulitzer announced in the hearing that his team was able to hack into voting machines via the internet. Now, Pulitzer, to be honest, has a questionable background. But that doesn't invalidate all of the other expert witnesses, the testimony of the Voter Integrity Project. The Senate committee gave Pulitzer the authority to look at and audit the ballots in Fulton County, and 2 weeks has gone by, and the Fulton County officials still are not letting him look at the ballots. You probably heard that there was already a signature audit in Georgia that showed that the signatures were valid. So the media is claiming that there is no fraud in the election. But this is what you won't hear. No observers were allowed in to view that audit. This was an audit of only a small, hand-picked sample of ballots in Cobb County. The Trump team wanted to audit Fulton County, but election officials refused. And the corruption is not, most likely not in the signatures, but in the tabulators switching votes. So the cover-up here is obvious. Put yourself in the shoes of these election officials. If you had nothing to hide, what would you do? You would let them see everything. You would let them test everything. So the cover-up alone is proof of fraud, unless we're naive. Also in this hearing, other poll workers testified that it was bizarre that large blocks of military ballots went for Biden, and many of the mail-in ballots were not folded. So how could they go through the mail? And many of the bubbles were too perfectly filled in. So what does Georgia's Secretary of State, Raffensperger, who is a Republican, what did he say about all this? Well, he called the Senate hearings a tsunami of disinformation. And Raffensperger is the other big story this week. Trump called him and asked him to investigate the vote. And Raffensperger recorded the call and sent it to the Washington Post, the most left-leaning newspaper in the country. Why would he do that? And the Post spun the story as though Trump was pressuring Georgia's Secretary of State to make up votes for him. You know, you'd think Raffensperger would at least look into the evidence and give some answer. But strangely, he's just ignoring the evidence. And Trump's team was able to audit vote machines in Michigan, but they were denied permission to audit the machines in Georgia. Instead, Georgia had its own company audit the machines, ProVNV, which was the same company that validated the machines in the first place. So Georgia has yet had an independent audit of the machines. So something's amiss. So no wonder there was this Stop the Steal rally in Washington. It wasn't because supporters of Trump were just believing Trump's claims of fraud. And again, notice how the mainstream media has gone silent on this. And leftists and social media are shutting down accounts of those who claim that there's fraud in this election. Facebook just shut down the Facebook group called Stop the Steal with 360,000 members in the group. And just to note, the Democrat Facebook group that called into doubt President Trump's win 4 years ago was untouched by Facebook. In this article, A massive pro-Trump Facebook group named Stop the Steal was shut down by the social media company after quickly amassing over 360,000 followers since it was created last Wednesday. The group describes itself as pledging to do whatever it takes to ensure the integrity of this election for the good of the nation. Amy Creamer, a former Tea Party activist and co-founder of Women for Trump, started this Facebook group. By the way, Women for Trump was the group that sponsored the Washington rally on Wednesday. This Facebook page supported the rally, but Facebook page wanted to stop the rally. The description of the now deleted page read, "Democrats are scheming to disenfranchise and nullify Republican votes. It's up to us, the American people, to fight and put a stop to it." On Thursday morning, Creamer warned that Facebook is flagging almost every post as false and added that the social network is probably going to shut us down. Shortly before 2 p.m., Creamer announced that the Stop the Steal Facebook group had been removed. The group wasn't even 24 hours old and had over 350,000 members. Creamer wrote on Twitter, "The left is trying to steal an election and social media is complicit. This is outrageous." And before Facebook banned the Stop the Steal group, several media outlets were calling for the page to be deplatformed. Media Matters wrote an article with the headlines, "Right-wing influences are using hashtag Stop the Steal hashtag to help Trump's attempts to undercut democracy." Rolling Stone stated that this group was spreading dangerous misinformation. Mother Jones published an article titled, "A Massive Stop the Count Facebook Group Has Ties to Republican Operatives." So we are in the middle of a culture war. That's what this election controversy is all about. Two different kingdoms, two different worldviews. And what is happening in this election represents a complete change in our country. This is how countries become communistic totalitarian states. By groups of leftists through violence and intimidation, through cheating, through shutting down of free speech, take over the power of government with the help of indifferent, complicit citizenship that trusts big government. And don't think it could never happen here. The ungodly of every generation are always cheating, always pushing for big government, totalitarian power. The ungodly people and their philosophy behind the communist revolution in Russia, behind the People's Communist group in China, behind the Nazi Party, they still live among us today. It's only the Christian base in America that has held the ungodly at bay for all these years. But we may now be reaching a tipping point where the wicked have sprouted up like grass and flourished, Psalm 92, where the wicked have taken power, Proverbs chapter 28, where the secular mind is in the majority, controlling the institutions, controlling the entertainment, the media, where the righteous are in the small minority. And if this is not stopped, what we are seeing before us and what I've been chronicling in these programs is the process by which the world will enter the global reign of the Antichrist and eventually apocalypse. Through either the fall of America into bankruptcy or moral confusion, through war, through American leftists pushing for the globalist agenda, ushering in the reign of the beast. I mean, it's going to happen someday. And it all starts by a man-centered people removing God and God's law from the culture, by a people turning to gross immoralities, bankrupting themselves with debt and money printing, surrendering their liberties for the promise of bread and circuses and security. And in such times, there are always a few who will work to hold on to the old ways, such as the many who showed up at that rally, but they are eventually overcome by the avalanche of corrupted morals. So this is what we might be experiencing in America right now. Sometimes we miss the forest for the trees. This might be the bigger story that historians in the future will write about. This election and the fraud behind it could be one of the decisive turning points of our nation. And so now we understand what the prophets of God meant when they said about ancient Israel in her final days, Isaiah chapter 59, "Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." And then down in verse 13, "Transgressing and denying the Lord and turning away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the streets and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking. And he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight, that there was no justice." And we see this kind of behavior in our own day. Imagine what this must have looked like in the ancient world. Israel, although it was a tiny nation with only a couple million, still had corrupt leadership that took bribes, operated on personal benefit than principle. Immorality was rampant. Faith in God, religion was just a show, just a way to appease the gods to get help. People haven't changed. The same corrupt nature in those ancient Israelites is in people today. The only reason it has ever been otherwise is due to conversion and the new birth. Men who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and by the Spirit of Christ within them have led the nation with divine motives. You know, imagine if we didn't have people in the battle against election fraud, like Rudy Giuliani, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Sidney Powell, Jenna Ellis, Matthew Brainerd, the Voter Integrity Project, the Amistad Project, conservative media. What if those people didn't exist? Evil would take over immediately, and we would be living in a dark, dystopian nation. There would be no utopia like the left claims. There would be only bondage and poverty. Well, this is why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Who are the you being referred to? Look back at the previous verses, verses 1 through 12. The poor in spirit, the gentle, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. After describing the character of God's people, Jesus then tells them that they are the only ones holding this world together by the power of Christ. Keep doing just that. Thank you for including God and country as just one small part of your discipleship in the Word. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for those who have supported me financially so I can make these trips to Washington. Don't forget to subscribe, to share, to like, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.